Only you know what you're doing here. You may be asking, what am I doing here? What's a refugee, internally displaced persons research study doing in a session on chronic disease management? I think the answer is that as the world ages, so does the population affected by disasters and conflicts around the world. So that's one point. And the burden of disease and disability is shifting toward chronic conditions, and some of our study points to that. These are very preliminary results, I should state. The second is that as people live post-disaster and chronic displacement, that displacement itself has effects of protractedness. People live in these conditions of displacement for longer periods of time. I'll then start my remarks by saying I have no relationships to disclose. I think we must state that verbally. I do want to acknowledge some colleagues and co-conspirators here, George Reebok, Paul Perrin, and Amrita Singh, and we'll acknowledge them more formally at the end of this presentation. This is a mixed methods approach. So we were looking at really five study regions in the Republic of Georgia, not State of Georgia, Republic of, where populations have been displaced of one wave since 1991-92. So we'll call that wave one. This is a kind of a quasi natural experiment. Wave two were displaced since 2008. So we were looking at whether kind of time and displacement had differential impacts if we could control for other background characteristics. It was a mixed methods approach. So the first phase was qualitative to try to get the contextual information. How do people talk about problems? What kinds of problems do they talk about? And how do we use those, the information from free list interviews, which we did 76 among older adults, 16 up, purposefully sampled through the aid of many local aid organizations, and then 45 key informant interviews, building on names of people that we identified through the free list and also through local aid organizations. As I noted, we had three areas of interest in the first wave, or first phase of the study, the qualitative, Samegrelo, Shidakartli, and Tbilisi, to try to capture that the differential differential geographic settlement patterns of these two waves of population. Wave one, the more protracted 91-92 displacement, and wave two, the 2008 displacement. We also were interested in looking at differences between urban, peri-urban, rural, and settlement types, collective centers where the government puts you, private accommodations where you ultimately settled yourself, generally speaking, and new settlements where the government again placed you in the context of the 2008. These are sort of more refugee camp-like or IDP settlement-like situations. The methodology, as I said, is linked. It's trying to build qualitatively an understanding of key problems that displaced persons have. How do they talk about them? What sorts of issues do they bring up? And then how do we use that language, really, and the distribution and frequencies of the kinds of problems that are elucidated to develop an instrument to literally map these terms and phrases and ideas onto either existing scales as well as self-developed or contextually developed scales, for example, function, which often varies depending on where you're living and who you are and what your local circumstances are. So the phase one qualitative asked, first of all, what are major problems that displaced older adults faced, and then asked questions about what do they do normally to take care of themselves, their family members, and their communities. As we would expect and as we found in many other sites around the world, economic and financial difficulties tend to be predominant. People just say we don't have enough money, and often for older adults we don't have enough money to pay for medicines, whether those are diabetes, chronic conditions, stress, hypertension, general health problems. Lots of problems associated with living conditions. It sometimes surfaced in the form of unable to get around easily, and sometimes the place is in very bad shape. It's falling apart, the roof leaks, there's rats, sort of vector and unhealthy environmental conditions. And then, of course, people expressing problems relating to being displaced. I can't go home again. One problem that came up for older adults that was quite significant was unable to return to the graves of one's loved ones. a very strong traumatic experience associated with inability to return and care for the graves of one's loved ones. The most common health problem was lack of access. There's just no place to go to get regular routine care for prescription medication, insurance coverage, and the like. The key informant, we took this into a focus on mental health, not entirely, but fairly significantly, and came up with some themes out of the frequencies of the kinds of mental health problems about feelings and thoughts and behaviors, and identified several questions that we then asked the key informants to tell us more about. Nervousness, nothing makes me happy, we quarrel. I'm a burden to my family, feeling passive, I can't do anything, nobody asks me to do anything, feeling abandoned and isolated. And these were themes that we explored in the key informant interviews. And then, as I said, took the time to work together as a group with our local counterparts to try to map these kinds of terms in Georgian, in the Georgian language, to scales that measure either depression, anxiety, function, and other aspects that we're interested in. So I will only go very briefly through the validation, but the point here is that we cannot simply presume that by translating something into another language, it is valid. We may take an instrument that's valid in one context. We have to do the work, we think, to map it, validate it locally. So we took these questions, translated them into Georgian using the language that people use to talk about function, physical health, and so forth. And then tested this. And the process, when you don't have a gold standard, if you don't have a psychiatrist who can tell you this person's depressed, that person's not, using local community groups to identify that. So we found groups that could help us find 50 people as defined as having depression, based on sort of local understandings of what that means, and then 50 as having no depression in two different sites, Gori and Tbilisi. And then we did a follow-up interview for sort of a retest using a different interviewer, and then actually looked at how our instrument did in terms of criterion validity, whether it actually picked up on that distinction that a community member might have made. So we found fairly good face validity, lots of filled-in scales, not a lot of blanks. We found a fairly strong test-retest, or it can also be considered inter-rater reliability because a different person did the second interview. A lot of strong construct validity, that is to say these items in the questionnaire sort of factored together, suggesting underlying kind of constructs and domains. And we found a difference between the case and non-case. In this case, those identified as being depressed by local community organizations, the scale, the geriatric depression scale, in fact found a high correlation between that that community finding or interpretation, if you will, and what might be a scale, I wouldn't call it a diagnosis, but an identification of depressive symptoms. And finally, last but not least, we actually sampled 900 households in four different areas. The fifth region, we did a case study of some refugee populations as the donor was interested. 900 households, cluster random sample, with random sampling within cluster, and again, stratifying by these two waves of interest. The first wave displaced in the early 90s, second wave displaced in 2008. And just these were the numbers and the sample structure. Quickly, demographics, mostly female. They live longer, and they may stay around more in displacement than males. But this is a fairly high distribution of females relative to males. 3.4 persons per household, a significant percentage of widows, as one might expect, about half, and a relatively well-educated population, 4 out of 5, had studied beyond primary and secondary school, and many attending a technical school or university. Among mental health issues, again, we looked at used a 20-point geriatric anxiety inventory and a 15-point geriatric depression scale, with 10-plus as likely anxiety symptoms and 10-plus for the depression scale as likely depressive symptoms, and these are the some of the indicators and sort of operational phrasing used in the question. We also looked at function. That's not something we'll cover in this. These are some of our very preliminary outcomes, and I think we'll show this in another couple of slides. Generally higher levels of depression and anxiety for females relative to males. We found that depression didn't change significantly between waves, but as we had hypothesized, anxiety levels were higher among the second wave, and you can see some of the age effects between sort of younger old, middle old, older old. If you like pie charts, we'll give you a few of those. But again, very high levels of depression or likely depressive symptoms or possibly depressed. Again, 10 and up, 5 to 10 being possibly depressed. Higher proportion of levels of depression among females. Again, higher levels of anxiety among females, as you can see. And then as I had noted earlier, looking at anxiety as a matter of a sort of a wave effect. We had hypothesized that the second wave, because of more recent displacement, more immediate recall of traumatic events, possibly still ongoing questions about where am I going to live, when can I go back again, we saw higher levels of anxiety among the second wave population. We also looked at the health-related quality of life, EQ-5D, which is a self-reported five-question scale. And you'll see here in a number of different activity levels, these are some of the different scores that you will find among all of the populations for whom the EQ-5D and then the EQ-VAS, which is essentially a 100-point thermometer asking people to report their health at that moment of the interview on a scale of 0 to 100, a kind of a thermometer. And these are some of the scores that we found in comparison. And our Georgia study really showed much lower self-reported health of 42 and much higher scores, or poorer scores, I should say, for all of the different levels related to quality of life. And we asked, sort of, is there a sort of a hypochondriac syndrome among Georgians? And actually, we had different answers from our different interviewers. One said, yes, they're probably maybe complaining more than they really ought to. Others said, no, that's really life for an older adult in displacement in Georgia. But these are disconcerting findings. They're very, very high, or very poor, depending on whether you high is bad or good. So very preliminarily, high prevalence of depression and anxiety symptoms in the study population, very low levels of health-related quality of life, multiple experiences of traumatic events, something I haven't presented in this finding. For our future work, we have a lot of other data that looks at social networks, looking at traumatic experiences and its correlation with other outcomes, physical or mental health. Interested in issues of settlement type. Our donor in this case was Population Refugee Migration Bureau and State Department. Their interest in this work is not, if you will, academic. They're not interested in simply a prevalence finding. They want to find out, is this correlated with something that a program could do something about? Could you put people in different settlements or next time out, settle them in different ways, provide different kinds of services? Would your outcomes be better the next time out? We would say preliminarily, based on our results, we think so. One thing you don't want to do is put people into a government facility, tell them they're going to go home in a couple of weeks, and 18 years later come back and they're still there. That's not an answer. And for anybody dealing with disasters, they have long tails. And the message here is pay attention in the acute phase of the emergency to what is likely to be a long-term chronic condition of displacement and many chronic conditions that grow out of that. Just finally, our acknowledgments, State Department, Population Refugee Migration Bureau, UN High Commissioner for Refugees was a local counterpart. A number of local charities and organizations were helping to facilitate this work on the ground. And last but not least, as I said, my co-conspirators in this, there are many papers coming out, so we didn't really present this as a single paper, but as a multi-phased mixed methods study. But we hope to be carrying this work forward. And we really see this as an opportunity to bring displacement and disasters into the field of geriatric medicine, gerontology, and a study of chronic conditions, and vice versa, bring those same kinds of expertise into a field where we talk a lot about older adults as vulnerable populations, but we really don't do more than pay lip service, and we have to do better for this population because they are increasingly large proportion of the population in displacement, and the burden of injury, disability, and illness is increasingly falling among this older adult population. Thank you very much.
It's time for a question.
One? Yes.
Can you sort of take away from this study? How can we learn from this study about what form?
Well, I think one of the things that we're interested in is how would we define displacement? When I read the aging literature and look at displacement, it may be people moved out of their home to a assisted living. That is a kind of displacement, if that's your point. So I would say aging in America has two kinds of displacement, and I'm speaking now as a real neophyte in the study of aging. One of the reasons why we put the phrase aging in displacement is that one of the new paradigms is aging in place. How do you help people stay in place? What happens when they're displaced into a nursing home? What happens if that displacement is attended also by a disaster, Katrina, earthquake, a hurricane, some event, some very disruptive event that is more disruptive even than moving out of your home of record and a place where you know family and friends? So I would say there's really twofold issues of displacement, which I think also can be transplanted into an international setting. And I think we do a disservice when we look at populations of any kind in disasters and treat that disaster as having a kind of an ahistoric effect, that prior to that event, nothing really matters. We just come in and we pick up the pieces. And prior to the earthquake or flood or disaster or war, it really doesn't matter what the burden of health was, what people's settlement types were, how families organized and shared resources and so forth. And I think those matter immensely. I don't know if that answers your question, but I think there's two kinds of displacement that we need to look at in America, and I think we need to transplant, as it were, into international contexts. Hopefully those two conversations are not going to be kind of talking past each other, but really learning from each other. Thank you.